Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Mem Tes. We're going to begin with the words, Mai Taima de Rabbi Yishmael, four lines from the top of Mem Tes Omen Aleph. We're learning today Lili Nishmas, a number of yard sites I just got today. Lili Nishmas, Beverly Blisco, Isaac Betensky, Yitzchok ben Shimshon, David Warren, Menachem David ben Harav Yosef, and Jerry Rosengarten, Yosef ben Svi Yaakov. As well, on Zion Tammuz is my mother's yard site. So we're learning Lila Nishmas, Imi Morasi, Chana Basmei Ravram. All the Nishmas we learned for should have an Aliyah from our learning. I have tremendous Hakaras HaTov, of course, to my mother, Aleha Shalom, and my father, Aleha Shalom. They made me who I am, and anything good is to their credit. Okay, so we begin four lines from the top, Mem Tes Omer Aleph. My time of the Rishmol. Yesterday we brought down the famous Machlokesim of Rishmol, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmol holds that when a person damages somebody else, Reuven damages Shimon, Reuven's ox damages Shimon, so therefore, B'dinizak Shayiminon. Rabbi Shmol says that we darshan, we'll explain today where he gets his shita from. Rabbi Shmol darshans that we look at the Nizak, his properties, and you pay according to his properties. Again, let's say they're properties that are different grades, A being the lowest grade, and as you go up the alphabet, the grades are higher. So let's say the Nizak, Shimon, has properties A, B, and C levels. So his idius, his best property, would be C. So Rabbi Shmuel says, you go and pay according to the property C level, as opposed to the Mazik, who let's say has C, D, E, and F. So according to Rabbi Yishmael, you look at the Nizak. So his best property is C. So as long as the Mazik has a C property, he can give him that. He doesn't have to give him his best property. He wouldn't have to give him D, E, or F. He can give him the C property. We'll see in a moment. Let's say the Mazik only has a B and D properties, so he doesn't have a C property, so then we'll see he has to give him the D property, the higher level property, rather than the lower level B property, even though that higher level D property is better than the idius, the best property of the Nizak, which was only a C level property. So therefore, that's Rabbi Shmuel Shita, Savar b'denizak shayminan. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, Savar b'demazik shayminan. Then we look at the mazik. So in the situation where the mazik, Reuven, has properties that are C, D, E, and F, F being the best property, so he would have to pay him with the F property, even though he only damaged A property, let's say, or B or C property that Shimon had. You always look at the mazik according to Rabbi Akiva, you look at the nizak according to Rabbi Shmuel. So now, why is that? Four lines in the top, Mentem Sevet Aleph. My time with Rabbi Shmuel, what's his svara? So he bases it upon the following pasuk from Mishpatim. It says, Nemro sodu lemate, v'nemro sodu lemale. In the pasuk, ki avarish sode ukerim v'shilach ez bi'iro ubier biste acher. Meitav sodeu, meitav kamo yishalem. So you have the word sode twice. You have ubier biste acher, that's biste, that's the first time. And then you have meitav sodeu, umeitav kamo yishalem. So you have sodeu a second time. So the first time it's written in the pasuk, it's called lamala. The second time in the pasuk, it's called lamata. So we have both the word sadeh or an equivalent type of sadeh in the words of the pasuk. So ma sadeh ho'amura lamala is clearly talking about the nizak. At the beginning, it's talking about the one who was damaged. Ki avarish sadeh okerem b'shilachas biro ubier biste acher. And it damaged in the other person's field. So that's talking about the nizak. So the first time it says sadeh, it's talking about the nizak. So therefore, the second time when it talks about it, meitav sadehu, meitav karmo yishalem. So the sadehu there is also going to be compared to the first sadehu. Ma sadeh hamura lamala dinizak, af sadeh hamura lamata, Rabbi Yishmael says, means the Nizak. So that's his understanding of the Pasuk. It's Gzeir Shavah, Sadeh, 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 Sadehu. And therefore, that's how he makes Gzeir Shavah. The first one is talking about Nizak, so therefore the second one is talking about Shayminon v'de Nizak. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, says, look at the words. Rabbi Akiva Savar, when it says, Meitav Sadehu, Meitav Kamo Yishalem, it means, Dehech Deka Mishalem. It means you pay like what you have. It's talking about, the simple understanding is the mazik. And therefore, you go by the mazik shayminan. No, what does each one do with the other ones? Rabbi Shmuel. So he says, Ahani gzeira shava vahani kra. He says, I agree with my gzeira shava, obviously, but I also agree with Rabbi Akiva, and therefore you need both. Ahani gzeira shava lichidi amoran. We need the gzeira shava, like I said. The Sode Lamala, the Sode Lamata, comes to teach us, Masode Rulamala, the Nizak, Asode Rulamata, the Nizak. Oh, so that's how you tell me that it means the Nizak. But I also need the understanding that Rabbi Kiva had of the Pasuk. The simple understanding of the Pasuk also makes sense because the E, Isle Lemazik, Idis Vitziburis. Let's say in my example, again, A being the lowest quality, F being the highest quality. So let's say the Mazik only has an Idis property that's D. And as Ziburis, his subjective lower level property is a B. So he has B lower, that's Ziburis, and D, Idis property. The Ziburis D day, and his inferior property B, Lo Shavia ki Idis the Nizak, it's not as good as the highest quality of the Nizak. The Nizak, let's say, has A, B, and C. So the C would be the property that Rabbi Shmuel says he has to pay. However, he doesn't have a C property, he only has B and D. So does he pay the inferior B, Ziburis, or does he pay the superior D, which is superior than the superior property C of the Nizak? So here, Ahani Kra, Rabbi Shmuel says, the Mishalim le Mimeitav, he has to go and pay from his best, which is D property, and not the B property. So I have to give the D property, even though it's better than the C property of the Nizak. In that situation, Rabbi Shmuel agrees that you pay by the Mazik's better property and not by the lower level of the property that he has, because the Nizak doesn't have a D property, the Nizak only has a C property, you still have to give him a D property, you can't give him a B property. I hope that's clear. Obviously, that's the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. He doesn't offer the Gzeir Shavos. He says, just look at the Pasuk. He says, Meitav Sodeo, Meitav Kamo Yishalim. So you pay with the best of the Mazik. Very simple. Now we have Brisa. The Brisa tells us, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Lo Boa Kosov El Lagabos L'Nizokim Min HaIdis. He says, the Pasuk comes to teach us that you go and take L'Nizokim Min HaIdis. That this comes to teach us that the one who is damaged, he gets the best property. And V'Kal V'Chomer L'Hektish. And the same thing applies to Hektish. That Hektish gets the best property. Now, that's a simple understanding. Gemara is going to ask, what do you mean? My Kal V'Chomer. What is this Kal V'Chomer L'Hektish that we're talking about? If you're going to tell me, Ilemo, that we're dealing here, Dinache Tura Didon, that our ox, meaning a normal person's ox, went and gored Litura the Hektish to the ox of Hektish, so then you're telling me that Hektish also gets to collect from the Mazik's best property? Is that true? That's not true. Shor Re'ehu Omer Achmona. Ki Gachish Shor Re'ehu V'meis. So it has to be Shor Re'ehu, the Shor of your friend, of your neighbor. Velo Shor Shel Hektish. So the simple understanding of the Pasuk is that Hektish actually gets the lower end of the straw over here. Normally Hektish's hand is always on top. But in this unique situation, the Pasuk tells us that the dinim of Negicha only apply when it's Shor Re'ehu, but not Shor of Hektish. So therefore, not only does Hektish not collect Idis, Hektish doesn't collect anything. Elo, therefore, when Rabbi Kiva said it's a Kal V'Chomer LeHektish, it must be talking about Elo LiOmer, for a person who says, Hare Olai Mone LeBetek Habayis. A person says, I obligate myself to give a mone, 100 zuz, to Betek Habayis, and then he doesn't have any money. So the Hektish comes to collect from his properties, and the Osi gives Bar V'Shalku Me'idis. Then they're allowed to go and take from his best property. Now, our question is, this is really? Hektish can take for this chov from the idiots? Isn't the rule that you can only take from Beinonis? Lo yele b'chov. Hektish, in this situation, is acting as a b'chov. The person owes the Hektish the money. He dedicated a money to the Betek Habayis. He can't pay it. So he is a b'chov to Hektish. Hektish goes and takes Beinonis. Lo yele b'chov. U'b'chov dino b'beinonis. So how can you tell me that he's supposed to be able to collect, the Hektish should go and collect from idiots? That's not right. You're going to tell me, v'chitema, k'sover Rabbi Akiva, b'al chov shoku b'idis k'nizokin, that in fact, a b'al chov, not like our mission that said, collects from a b'al chov, collects the beninis, maybe Rabbi Akiva holds. It's not true. We're just asking this. Maybe Rabbi Akiva holds that a b'al chov can collect from idis just like k'nizokin, like a nizak is an idis. Maybe Rabbi Akiva holds that a b'al chov can also collect from the idis. So the Gemara says, no, ikalimifrach, you can shlug that up. Why? Because mal b'al chov shekein yofer kol chov b'nizokin. A b'al chov, in regards to nizokin, if he's damaged, so he gets idis. And Therefore, he should be entitled to go and collect idiyos if he's the Baal Chov of a regular Chov, but he only collects Beinonis. So therefore, Tomar Behektish, he can tell me by Hektish, that in fact, Shekein Hurak Kochov Nizokin, as we just pointed out, Shari Yehu, below Shar Shel Hektish. So therefore, how can you possibly suggest that a Baal Chov can go collect from idiyos, that that's Rabbi Akiva Shita, and therefore that Hektish should be able to go collect from idiyos? That just isn't right. That's not possible. So we're stuck. What did Rabbi Akiva mean when he said, Kal v'chom lehektish? So more goes back to the original suggestion. Li'olam denachay tura didon tura dehektish. In fact, we're dealing here with the ox of a regular person went and gored the ox of hektish. Aye, we just said before that in that situation, shari ero machmona v'lo shor shel hektish. So there's another opinion. For Rabbi Akiva, sovelo ki Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. He holds like Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. And Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya disagrees with that drush of Shariyehu. He holds that that drush of Shariyehu is incorrect the way we said it. We'll see in a moment how he holds. Let's learn the brights of the Tanya. Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya omer, shor shel hektish shenochach l'shor shel hedjot. If hektish is shor, we haven't talked about that yet. If hektish is shor, goes and gores l'shor shel hedjot, a regular person's shor, Potter, Hektish doesn't have to pay, because the din is only Shoriyehu. Here, they say that since Hektish is not Shoriyehu, so the dinim of Negicha don't apply to Hektish. So when Hektish is the damager, Hektish doesn't have to pay. However, Vishel Hedyot Shenochach Shor Shel Hektish, but if a regular person's ox gored the ox of Hektish, here, Bein Tam Ubein Muad Mishalim Nezik Sholem. That Shoriyehu was teaching us the din of Shor Tam. But here, by Hektish, there is no din of Shor Tam. Bein Tam, U Bein Muad, Mishalim Nezik Sholem. Hektish always hands is on the top. And therefore, in this situation, Hektish goes and collects Nezik Sholem no matter what. Vidorish Rashi says, Re'eyu Hochi. This is why the word Shor Re'eyu is darshan. Re'eyu Hu de Mishalim Chatzi Nezik. Only from your friend is there a din of Shor Tam that you pay half the Nezik. Avol Hektish, if your Shor Tam goes and gores an ox of Hektish, Nezek Sholem. That's what the words Re'eyu coming to teach us. It's actually for the betterment of Hektish. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva, who said, Denachay Tura Didon, Tura De Hektish. So yeah, just like in this situation, that Rabbi Shimon Manasseh says that Hektish does collect, so too, Rabbi Akiva means, Kal v'chomer from Hektish, that they collect from the idiots in this situation, and therefore, there is no problem understanding Rabbi Kiva's Kal v'chomer. Rabbi Kiva says, "Umay Kal v'chomer lehektish." Therefore, it's understandable that Rabbi Akiva holds by the nizak you get the idiyos, and so too hektish gets the idiyos over here as well. Mora doesn't like this yet. Ihachi Mora says, if Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Shimon ben Asya, so then why did we understand the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael in the way that we did? Mimai de b'idis de nizak kiziburis de mazik plige, that we just explained in the beginning of this year now, that Rabbi Yishmael says, let's say the mazik has C, D, E, and F properties, and the nizak only has A, B, and C. So Rabbi Yishmael says, you pay C. The mazik pays his most inferior property because that's the equal to the idiots of the nizak. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says, no, you have to pay the F properties. Why do we explain the machlokas like that? If Rabbi Akiva holds like Shimon Manasya, maybe in fact, then Dilma de Kuli Abba b'dinizak Sheminon. Maybe in fact, Rabbi Akiva agrees to Rabbi Shmuel. Then we look at the nizak, and in that situation, you'd actually only have to pay, the mazik would only pay the C property that he has, which is the equal to the best property that the nizak has, which is also a C property. And maybe in fact, Rabbi Akiva agrees with Rabbi Shmuel. And then what are they arguing about? V'hacha, in the Brisa, Rabbi Akiva said, Kal v'chomer lehektish, you know what he meant. This is the machlokas between Rav Shimon ben Asya and the Tanakhama of Rav Shimon ben Asya. B'pluk to the Rabbi Shimon ben Asya, the Rabbanon kamiflagi. The Rabbi Kiva savalaki Rav Shimon ben Asya, as we just said. The Rabbi Shishmal savalaki Rabbanon, who say that no, Shor Re'eyu means that hektish doesn't collect anything. So maybe this is the proper way to have the machlokas. So where says, no, it can't be. If that were true, the Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel don't disagree. They both say, b'dinizak shayminon. So then, we don't understand Rabbi Akiva's answer. My lo bo hakosuf, when Rabbi Akiva said, lo bo hakosuf, to come and teach us, elo legabos l'nizokim in idiots, so that doesn't make any sense if you say that Rabbi Akiva agrees with Rabbi Shmuel. And number two, furthermore, v'yod, my kal v'chomer lehektish, that also doesn't make any sense. What Kal v'chomer is there then? And furthermore, v'yod, homer Rav Ashi, returned to Memtes and Mabez, in this situation, Tanya Behedya, Rav Asi learned the Feirish, that the Makolkas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel is as follows. Whereas Meitav Sadeo, Meitav Kamu Yishalem. So according to Rabbi Yishmael, that means Meitav Sadeo Shal Nizak, Umeitav Kamu Shal Nizak. It means that you always look at the Nizak, the Shaiminon, the Rabbi Yishmael. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, Rabbi Akiva Meir, Meitav Sadeo Shal Mazik, Umeitav Kamu Shal Mazik. Oh, so here we have clearly that Rav Ashi says, Beferish, that this is the Machlokes. So bottom line is we have three reasons why we can't try to change the Machlokes into something else than what it really is. In fact, the Machlokes is that we said it, Rabbi Shmuel holds Kide Nizak Shaiminon, and Rabbi Akiva holds Kide Mazik Shaiminon. Oh, that's the bottom line. Now the Gemara says, at the end of yesterday's shir, we tried to explain that our Mishnah goes according to the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. We said the Pasuk says, Beferish, Meitav Sadeo, Meitav Karmi Yishleim. How can you argue with that? So we said, this is only going according to Rabbi Shmuel, and then on a Daraisa level, you go collect from the Nizak. But Kamash Olam, Mibnei Tikkun Olam, Shaminu Mid the Mazik. So even Rabbi Shmuel agrees, Mid the Rabbanu, we change it over into allow to collect from the Mazik's best property. Ah, so we understood our Mishnah that way. Now we're going to suggest Ravina Amar Liolam. In fact, Masnis and Rabbi Akiva. You don't have to learn that our Mishnah is only like Rabbi Shmuel. You can learn our Mishnah goes in accordance with Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva holds like his Talmud. In other words, his Talmud learned from Rabbi Akiva, Rashi says, and therefore it makes very good sense to say that our Mishnah goes in accordance with another statement that Rabbi Shimon made, who is a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, so his Talmud learned it from Rabbi Akiva, and that is the Darish time of the Krah, and that he's explaining our Mishnah in the following way to understand what the Pasuk means. Rabbi Shimon is famous throughout Shas for saying that you look at the Pasuk, what it's trying to teach us based upon the logic behind it, and that tells you why the din applies. In any event, so in our Mishnah, when we said that the din derises, Meitav Sadeo, Meitav Kamu Yishalem, so Rabbi Shimon would say, Umatam Kamar, the reason is, Mipnei Tikkun Olam. God set it up in this way that it should be Tikkun Olam, as we'll now explain. We'll go through the Mishnah as understood according to this understanding of Rabbi Shimon, which is Rabbi Akiva's understanding as well, and each part of the Mishnah is really explaining why HaKadosh Baruch Hu set it up that way. So, Ma'atam HaNizok in Shomim Lo Be'id is, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say that the person who's in Nizak should be paid with idius, with the best properties, mipnei tikkun olam, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it that people should be careful with their animals, that they know that if my animal goes to somebody else, they're going to take away my best properties to pay for it if I don't have the cash, so then I'll be more careful. So that's tikkun olam. The Tanya, as we see in the Brisa, here it says, Beferish, Amr Rabbi Shimon, this is Rabbi Shimon who says that we darshan time of the Krah, so he said, Mipnei ma Amru, why did Chazal explain the Torah, or some suggest that the Girsa over here should be, Mipnei ma Amru Torah, that's the Rib's Girsa. So either way, it means, why did the Torah tell us, either Chazal saying this is what the Torah meant, or that it's actually the Torah saying, so, Mipnei ma Amru hanizokin shomlem be'idiyas, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up that the Nizak, the damaged person, is allowed to go collect from idiyas, from the best properties of the Mazik, Mipnei hagazlodim, Mipnei hachamsonin. This is because of people that are thieves, and because of people that are chamsonin. A chamson is a person who, while he pays for the item that he took it without your permission. So you have on your desk a nice vase, and the guy says, oh, I'd like that vase, can I buy it from you? And you say, no, it's not for sale. And he says, I'm taking it anyway. How much is it worth? It's worth $1,000. Here's $1,000. I'm taking your vase. So he's a chamson. He did pay for it, but he took it without permission. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, there are gazlonim in the world. There are thieves in the world. There are chamsonim. There are people that take stuff, even though they're paying for it, but they're taking stuff against the owner's will. So this way, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu setting it up, that the damager, including a thief or a chamson, if he damages somebody else, when the Beis Din goes and makes him pay back, they'll take from his best properties. So therefore, these gazlonim and chamsonim, kidei shomer adam, the person is going to say, listen, why should I go bother steal over here? Lom ani gozel, lom ani chomes. Why should I go steal from somebody else or be a chamson and take something else, even though I'm paying for it from somebody else? Because lemachar, the next day, Beis Din is going to come back and take it from me. Beis Din yardin l'chosai, and they're going to go take my best property. V'notlin sodin noishli. They're going to, in payment for what I stole, they can now take my best field. So why should I steal something if I'm going to only end up losing my best field as a result? And therefore, and therefore, that's the drasha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to understand. Therefore, the Torah is teaching us, or the Chachamim are understanding that this is what the Torah meant. Lefikach amru hanizokin shomin lohem b'yadis. That's the explanation for why the Torah set up that a nizak gets paid for from the best properties of the mazik to prevent people from going and stealing and extorting other people from their properties by just grabbing it from them and paying for it, because they know that when they do get caught, they're going to end up paying from their best field. We continue in the Braisa. Rabbi Shimon explains, "Mipnei ma amru baal chov bebeinanis." Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up that a baal chov can connect only from beinanis properties? So the purpose of this is kadesh lo yira adam chaveru saw the noah v'dira noah. So a person who's wealthy shouldn't go look at his friend's field or his friend's apartment and say, "Wow, that's a really nice field. That's a really nice apartment. I'm going to go lend that guy money. I know he's not the best with finances. He'll never have to pay me back, and I'll go take that nice field or that nice house." The yomer, the guy's going to say, "Who's lending the money? Ekbots. I'm going to jump bialvenu." And I'm going to lend him money. I know he's not good with money. And therefore, he's never going to be able to pay me back. And I'll collect that nice field that I saw, the nice apartment that I saw. And therefore, Lefikach, Amru, Baal Chov, Bebeinis. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu set it up that a Baal Chov can only connect from Beinis. Wait a second. If you want to stop people from lending money to people that don't have the best financial sense, so that when they can't pay back, people don't take their nice apartments, they'll only let them take from Beinonis. So if you really want to send the message, so Yehebe Ziburis, why did you allow them to collect from Beinonis? They should only collect from Ziburis. So here, Rabbi Shimon would answer, "Im Kain, if that were the case, Ata Noel Delis with Nehlovin." We have a two-way street over here. We want people not to be taken advantage of if they're not so financially sound, that they don't have such great financial acumen, so that we don't want people taking advantage of them, lending them money, knowing that they won't be able to pay it back. They'll lose the money, and then they'll take their best apartments. But at the same time, if a person who's lending money is only going to get from Ziburis, from the worst properties of that person, he's going to say, "You know what? I don't want to lend the money." So we have a tightrope here to walk, that we don't want to take advantage of the lenders, but we don't want to take advantage of the borrowers. So in this situation, by allowing the Baal Chov to go collect from Beinonis, so you're not closing the door in their faces, you're not taking advantage of those poor people that don't have such great financial sense that they end up losing the money and they'll lose their sod, their noah, their dira noah. No, they'll only lose a bane in this field. We continue with the Braisa. Rabbi Shimon explains, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up ksubas isha b'ziburis? This, of course, goes according to the Shita, that the ksuba for a woman who's a basula is midaraisa. Ksubas isha b'ziburis, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu set that up? Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that you only collect from Ziburis, and Rabbi Meir, who says, Omer Beveinanis, why is that set up in that way? According to Rabbi Yehuda, again, Ziburis, and according to Rabbi Meir, Beveinanis. So Rabbi Shimon explains as follows. He says, why did Rabbi Yehuda say that you collect only from Ziburis? Bibnei ma'aru ksuba sisho b'ziburis, sheyoser mimashu ishrosa lisa, ha'isha rotsa linose. Because he said, the whole purpose over here of setting up a ksuba is to take care of the woman financially. So once she knows she's being taken care of financially, she'll be quicker to go and get married. If she's not going to be taken care of financially, she's going to say, listen, I don't want to take a chance of getting married. I'm going to end up, not being able to find somebody else, and now I'm going to be destitute. So therefore, they set up the ksuba. And if the ksuba is only ziburis, nishka ferluch, that will encourage her, because the woman wants to get married anyway. So this will just give her a little bit of peace of mind, and therefore, there is no reason to go and set up for more than ziburis, because the woman in this situation, it will be married if she can get a ksuba. Even from ziburis, she'll jump to get married, because we have the famous principle that tabla mesav tandu mil mesav armulu, the women like to go and get married and would much rather be married, even with not such a great husband, than to be single alone. And these are often the psychological facts over here, and that's what Chazal said. Dov racher, now it seems over here that Rabbi Shimon is giving us another reason for this. He says, Isha yotzu l'ritzona, shalom l'ritzona, a woman can be divorced either willingly or unwillingly, whereas Va'ish, a man cannot divorce his wife, unless he wants to. Now the Gemara says, what in the world does that have to do with anything? My Dovracha, how do you understand that? How does that go into explain why Ksubas Isha Ziburis according to Yehuda? So Gemara says, V'chi Teima, if you're going to suggest, it's a totally different thing, it's not another explanation of why Ksubas Isha Ziburis. If you're going to suggest, Ki Heichi D'chi Mapik Lo Ihu, Takinu la rabbanim kesuba minei, just like when a man divorces a woman, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that the woman gets a ksuba. So ki nafka I, so too, if the woman causes the divorce, she acts immorally or inappropriately with her husband, and therefore he divorces her. So I might have thought, la nami, lisakne le rabbanim ksuba mina, that maybe the rabbis would go and set up a ksuba for the man to get from the wife. So, Toshma, that's not true. Isha yotza l'ritzona, v'shalo l'ritzona. That a woman goes out against her will or willingly. In other words, a woman can be divorced whether she agrees to or not. Albeit, now the halacha is, since the days of Rabbeinu Gershom, that there is a rabbinical edict that says that you can't divorce your wife against her will. So, in any event, in the times of the Gemara, the din midaraisa is a man can divorce his wife whether she agrees to it or not. And therefore, that's why the Torah set up according to the opinion that says the ksuba is midaraisa, and even according to the opinion that says ksuba is a rabbanim. That's why the rabbi set up a ksuba. However, v'yish, a man, ain't a motzi el ritzono. You can't divorce a woman against the man's will. So no matter how much the woman wants it, the man has to want it as well. No, sometimes we'll go and beat him until he says rotzani. That's a whole separate discussion. However, the bottom line is, he has to divorce her. If she's acting inappropriately, you know what? He won't give her a get. And therefore, she'll be stuck. She'll be in limbo. She's not really married to him anymore, but she can't marry to somebody else. So Evshel Demashi Lo Begita, he can go correct her bad behavior by not giving her a get. So until she starts to act properly, so then he has another mechanism to make her act properly. Whereas she doesn't have that mechanism, therefore the Chazal set up a ksuba for her. However, he does have another mechanism, so Chazal did not set up that she should have to give the husband a ksuba. Okay, interesting discussion. Now, we have the Mishnah where it says ksubas isha b'ziburis, and we also have the Braisa which says ksubas isha b'ziburis. So the Gemara says, interesting statement from our Zutra, Bereder of Nachman, that we're going to ultimately shlug up, but right now, Amar Azutra, Bereder of Nachman, he qualifies the fact that the Ksubas Isha is Bizuris, and he says that that's only dealing over here, Lo Amarin Elmi Yasbe, when the woman is collecting, Nebuch, her husband passed away, and she's collecting from the Yisomim, so in that situation, she's only entitled to collect from the estate that the Yisomim now have from Ziburis properties. Havol mine didei. If the husband divorced her, then bebeninis. Then the woman's kesuba can be collected even from beninis, like a regular bachov, and not from ziburis. That's what Marzutra Bereder of Nachman says. We'll spend the rest of this year trying to shlug this up and ultimately be successful. So the more questions him, and he says, really, Marzutra, meyasme? You're saying that the woman in our Mishnah is only collecting ziburis from the yisomim, but not from her husband. From her husband, if he divorces her. The Yisomim means the husband died, so she's an Amana. So when she's an Amana, she can only collect from the estate, from the Yisomim, from Ziburis. But when her husband's alive and he divorces her, she can collect from him, according to you, Mazutra, from Beninis? Really? Is that true? My ear, Yiksubas Isha. Then you're saying the Mishnah is telling us that the Ksuba of a woman can only be collected from the Yisomim, from Ziburis. But nobody else can collect from the Yisomim except from Ziburis. My ear, Yiksubas Isha. Then why would the Mishnah have to tell us about Ksubas Isha? Afilu kol mine nami. Anybody collecting from the Yisomim is only allowed to collect from Ziburis. Dothnan, because we learned in the Mishnah, Ein Nefraim Nifsa Yisomim Elamin Ziburis. The din is that you're never allowed to go low collect from the Yisomim except from Ziburis. You take the most inferior field that they have, and that's how you pay back any debts that the Yisomim have to pay back from the estate of their father. So, therefore, in our Mishnah, it wouldn't have to tell me that. Elo, therefore, mustn't it be lav mine? Isn't our Mishnah talking about when the husband divorced her, and yet it still says ksubas isha b'ziburis kash on you marzutra? So Morgan says, no, marzutra is okay. Liola miyasme. In fact, our Mishnah is talking about the Yisomim. Aye, that which you said, why would it have to tell me that the ksuba of a woman can be only collected from ziburis from orphans? Everybody only collects from orphans with ziburis? No. I might have said the ksuba of a woman is different. Uksubas isha itztrichole. There needed to be a specific mention in the Mishnah that even the ksuba of a woman can only be collected from ziburis from the orphans, even though everybody else also only collects from ziburis from the orphans, because you might have thought that the ksuba of an isha is different. Why? Because sof kedait dechaminuch, I might have said, mishum chino akilu rabbanon gabah. I would have said, you know what? The rabbis wanted to make sure that this woman is going to be willing to get married. And in order to encourage women to get married to the men. So therefore, as Rashi says in Dibra Masa Mishum Chino, Shiyu Anoshim Nosin Chayin B'Eini Hanoshim V'Yinasulhem. So you might have thought that the rabbis instituted that even though everybody else can only collect from the Yisomim Ziburis, will allow the woman. She knows that there's a 50% chance that she'll be an Amana. Either she'll die first or he'll die first. And therefore, in order to encourage the women to accept Kiddushin from men, you might have thought that they sweetened the pot and said that the woman can collect from the Yisomim even from Beninis, not like everybody else, only from Ziburis. That's what you might have thought, Mishum China. So therefore, Kamash Malon, that's not the case. And that's why our Mishnah had to tell us that. Ah, Gemara says, very good. So Marzutra is back in being okay. Amar Rabba says, no, we'll still prove Marzutra wrong. Toshma, Rabbi Meir Omer, Kesubas Isha Bebeninis. Rabbi Meir says the Kesuba of a woman is allowed to be collected from Beninis properties. Now, Miman, what type of person are we talking about over here? Ilema Miyasmi, if we're talking about that the husband died and she collect from the Yisomim from Beninis, is that what he means? So, Les Leil, Rabbi Meir, Hodet Nan, Rabbi Meir doesn't hold any from Yisomim Yisomim element of Zipuris. Everybody holds from that. So, how can you tell me that Rabbi Meir would say that you collect from the Yisomim from Beninis properties? Obviously, it's from Zipuris properties. So, therefore, it can't be that Rabbi Meir is saying that you can collect from the Yisomim from Beninis properties. Elolav Mine. So, when Rabbi Meir says that you can collect from Beninis properties, it must be talking about a case of divorce when the husband's alive. And Rabbi Meir says, in that situation, I allow you to go collect from Beninis of the husband. Implication being, Michlal, the Rabbanan who argue with Rabbi Meir, Savri Biziboris, Kasha and Yumar Zutra. Yeah, Mar Zutra, you agree with Rabbi Meir, but you disagree with the Chachamim. Michlal, the Rabbanan, Savri Biziboris, even from the divorced husband, from the husband who divorced, who was alive, you're only allowed to collect the Ksuba with Ziboris, not Beninis. Kasha and Yumar Zutra. Where it says still, Mar Zutra is okay, low. Leola Miyasme. Again, even Rabbi Meir says that you're allowed to go collect the Ksuba from the orphans from Beninis. Why? Yeah, he actually says that this is the exception to the rule. And Rabbi Meir holds that you actually can go and collect from Beninis property, even from the orphans. Even though nobody else can collect from the orphans from Beninis properties, there's a special din over here, Mishum Chayna, in order to encourage the women to accept the Kiddushim from the men, in order to, well, Tosfos says a different explanation. He says, in order to make the women more attractive, they'll be wealthier, and Nebuch, this widow, will be more attractive to get a second marriage. So therefore, that's Tosfos' understanding of Mishum Chayna. Bottom line is that this is the exception to the rule, according to Rabbi Meir. And yes, that's why the Mishnah had to tell us that Rabbi Meir holds that you can collect from Beninis even Miyasme, and no Kasha on Mar Zutra. Try again. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Toshma, we have our Mishnah that said, Hanizokin Shomulem Beidias, Ubacho Bebeninis, Uksubasisha Beziburis. Our Mishnah saved the three levels. The Nizokin, that's with the best properties, the Bachov can collect only for the middle properties, and the Ksubasisha Beziburis. Now, this last part, Ksubasisha Beziburis, what did our Mishnah say about? Miman, who's it talking about? If you're talking about you're collecting it from the Yisomim, so da my irik subas isha afilu kol aninami, as we've already said several times, that everybody agrees that from the Yisomim nifra minichse Yisomim only min haziburis. So why would it have to tell us about the subas isha? Elolav mine, must be talking about when the husband is alive, and it still says in our Mishnah that uksubas isha biziburis. So kasha on my zutra. So Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, no. You know, we're talking about in our Mishnah, we're dealing with an unusual case. Kigon, Shinaso Orev, Liniske Bino, Labalcho Bino, Uluksubas Kalaso. We're dealing over here with the father was a guarantor over here for any Nezik that his son had done, or any Chovos that his son had, and to the Ksuba of his daughter-in-law, his son's wife. And the father was a guarantor in this situation. And therefore, the father has to pay in this situation along the parameters that we said, that for a nizak, it's from idias, from a chov, it's for beninis, and for ksubas isha, it is from ziburis. Now, v'hai kidine, when the father is paying on behalf of his son, either the damages or the returning the chov or the ksuba, so you go and look at it the way the son would have paid, that's the way the father has to pay. So nizakin u'bal chov, in regards to if the son had damaged somebody or if the son owed somebody money, so then demechaim gavu, those debts, those obligations can be collected during the lifetime of the son. So if the son's ox damaged, Reuven is the son, let's say, and his ox damaged Shimon, or Reuven borrowed money from Shimon, and now Shimon wants to collect the money, and Reuven doesn't have it, so the Mechaim Gavu, you could go collect in their lifetime, so Ihu Nami Ki Magbe. So the father has to go and pay Ki Mechaim Magbe, just the way the son, if he were alive, would have to go pay it, so the father has to go and pay it. The son is not alive in this situation, so that's why the father, who's the guarantor, has to go and pay it. So if the father has to take the place, so to say, of the son, this debt could be collected while the son was alive, and he'd have to pay for the nizak damage that he did for idias, from idias, and for the chov, he'd have to pay for beninis, so the father has to do the same thing. However, the ksuba of the son's wife, the father's daughter-in-law, when would that be collected? If the son is dead, only when the son is dead. Can't collect it while the son's alive. Kisubas Isha, Deliachar miso gavya. The only time the father is the guarantor is if the son dies. And that kesuba can only be collected if the son is dead. Now, when the son is dead, uliachar miso miman gavya. Who would the woman normally go collect it from? Not from the son, he's dead. From the son's estate. So, miyasme, from the orphans. So, since from the orphans, she'd only be allowed to go collect from ziburis. So, even though the father is now had obligated himself as an arev to go and pay on behalf of the son, so ihu nami ki magbe. Now, when the father has to pay as the arev of his son, kili achar miso magbe, he pays just like the son would have paid, in other words, the estate of the son from the yasme, and therefore he only has to pay with ziburis. So that's how we explain this. And therefore, there's no kasha on Marzutra. The Gemara says, wait a second. Wait a second. If you're telling me that he is the guarantor, the father had guaranteed to go and pay the son's ksuba, but we have a rule that whenever you guarantee a ksuba, you don't really mean it. The Arev who guarantees a ksuba, lo mishtabit, as we're going to learn in a few moments on Daf Nun, Amud Aleph, we'll hopefully get to it today still. It tells us there that when a person guarantees a ksuba, he's really just encouraging the girl to get married. He doesn't really mean to guarantee it because she's not out any money. When you guarantee a loan, so the person is out money, so therefore he expects the guarantor to pay back the loan in case the person who lent the money to can't. But in the ksuba of the woman, she's not losing anything. She's getting married, and okay, she was a little bit hesitant to get married because she didn't think the ksuba would be guaranteed, so this guy comes and says, no, go and marry her. I'll guarantee the ksuba. But he doesn't really mean to go marry the ksuba. He just means to encourage her to get married, to do the mitzvah of getting married. And therefore, the rule is, so how come the father over here is in fact obligated to go pay off his son's ksuba? So Gemara says, because we're dealing here with kablon. We're dealing here with a higher level of guarantor called a kablon. Rashi explains the details over here. We'll just say it outside. Basically, under all circumstances over here, the kablon, the orev kablon, has to go and pay, as opposed to the orev doesn't have to go and pay. Now, this works out well. The Gemara says, honicho leman di omar, kablon afogav de les le nirse lilova mishtabed, according to the opinion that says that when you're an Arev kablon, if you're taking the higher level of guaranteeship on yourself, so then even if the person who you're guaranteeing that you'll pay back that debt has no property, so therefore you didn't expect to get it back from them, nevertheless you obligated yourself to go and pay. So then in that situation, shapir. So then we understand why the father over here has an obligation to go pay for the son. Even if the son had no property, so then the father said he will go and pay. Very good. However, el man di omar, I isle mishtabed, I lesle lo mishtabed, that there is another opinion that says, no, even an arev kablan, he is only guaranteeing it, an ironclad guarantee, if the person who he's being the guarantor for has properties. Then he says, okay, if I end up having to pay it, I'll eventually get it back from his properties. But if he doesn't have properties, even the Arev Kablan doesn't guarantee it. Michael and Maymar, in this situation, what are you going to say? Why would the father have to go pay back his son's obligation? The son didn't have any properties at the time that the father guaranteed it. So Gemara says, there's two possible answers. In fact, the son did have properties, but they were flooded. They were destroyed. Somebody took them, Rashi says, or they were flooded. The wind destroyed them. And therefore, right now he has no properties. And therefore, the father has to pay. Alternatively, terrace number two is the father is different than any other Arev Kaplan. Anybody else, maybe according to this man, the armor, will not guarantee it if let's lay lo mishtabit. If the guy doesn't have property, he's not guaranteeing it. I'm not a fool. I'm not just guaranteeing your loan. I'm only doing that because I know you have property. And while I'll pay back the loan, I'll eventually get it back from you from your property. Nobody else is going to do that except the father. The father is going to say, no, I'll pay it back even if he doesn't have property. And that's what happened over here. The father had agreed to pay it back even though the son didn't have any properties. And that's why this situation is not a kasha on Mansutra. Okay. Mark continues and says, Itmar, Arev de Ksuba, an Arev for a Ksuba, Divriya called lo mishtabe. A regular Arev for a Ksuba, everybody agrees, there is no Shibud over here, there is no obligation, because as I pointed out before, and we'll see in a moment in the Gemara, that since there is no financial loss actually to the woman, and we're trying to encourage her to get married, he really didn't mean it. He said it, but he didn't really mean it. And that's the assumption that the Gemara has. Return to Nunam and Aleph. But a Kablon, that type of a guarantor, the Baal Chov, Divriya called mishtabe. Everybody agrees that he absolutely meant to be the guarantor, and therefore you can take that to the bank. The question will be, Arev de Balchov, a regular Arev, not a Kablon, a regular Arev for a Balchov, or a Kablon for a Ksuba, Pligi. There is what we have a Machlokas. And the Gemara says, Iko Leman Diomar, Afa Gavdelesle, Nichse Lelobi Mishtabe. This goes according, this Machlokas over here goes even according to Leman Diomar, it says, when he doesn't have the Chosin, he's still meant to guarantee it, the Arev Kablon. The Iko Leman Diomar, Iisle Mishtabe, Nilesle, Lo Mishtabe, and even according to Leman Diomar, it says, only when the person had property did the Arev Kablon mean to guarantee it, but otherwise not, there's a Machlokas over here. Now, let's understand this. In the case of the Arev for a Baal Chov, so then the opinion that says that if he has Nechasim or not, doesn't have Nechasim, he's still meant to guarantee it, so then that's a guarantee. However, according to the opinion that says if he had properties, yes, if he doesn't have properties, no, so they would say no, it's not. And in regards to the Kabbalah for Ksuba, no, then we would still have a Machlokas, even though we're dealing over here with a person who's a Kabbalah, but by the Ksuba, maybe he only meant to guarantee it if he had properties, and not if he didn't have properties. So that's the Machlokas. How do we end the Paschalim? Gemara says, V'hilchasa b'kulu, in all of the cases we said over here, af agav d'lesle mishtabit, even though the person who is having his loan or his dealings guaranteed by the other person, even though that person didn't have properties, so the Kablon in that situation definitely meant to go and accept upon himself to guarantee that debt, with the one exception, bar, may orev de ksuba. In the case of a ksuba, we don't say that they meant to really guarantee it. Why? As I said before, here we're finally getting to it. Ki bar me orev de ksuba, the alpha god, the islay, even though he has properties, lo mishtabe, there is no shibud there, because my timer, because mitzu di avad, she didn't lose anything, and he was just encouraging her to do the mitzvah. And therefore, in this situation, everybody agrees that by the ksuba, there is no guarantee. Now, Amravina Toshma, let's now slug up Marzutra finally, because we'll slug him up from the following. Toshma Meikara the Takantin. Shug him up from the beginning of the Takana. Rashi explains in Meikar de Takanta, Mishoresh, from the root of this, Tam HaTakana, from the explanation for the Takana. Diktani, Mipnei Ma Ksuba B'Ziburis. Why is a Ksuba with the most inferior product? Because we said, because the man, Yosef, back to the Gemara now, Yosef, Mimashu, Isha Rotsa Lisa, Isha Rotsa Linose. More than the man wants to get married, a woman has the desire to be married. Again, as we pointed out, Tav Milamesav Tandu Milamesav Armelu. Woman would rather be married to somebody who's not such a great person than not to be married at all. And therefore, that's the natural psychology of a woman. If my Zutra is correct, that Mishnah is telling us that you can't collect the Ksuba from Yisomim, except from Ziburis, but from a divorced husband, from the husband who's divorcing the wife, so she could collect from Beninis. So then, why would it tell us over here, Yosef Imasha Ish Rotsa Lisa, Isha Rotsa Linose, Haimisham Diaspio? The only reason why you can't collect Ziburis from the orphans is because we don't allow you to collect any from the orphans. It wouldn't have to tell us that a woman likes to be married more than a man. Oh, it must be talking about that in fact it's dealing with the husband. And that's why the husband who's alive, you can't collect from him from Beninis as well. Kasha on Marzutra, Tiyufta de Marzutra, Tiyufta. We have shlug up Marzutra, and in fact that's the way the Gemara concludes in Marzutra's analysis, that you can only collect from the Yisomin with Ziburis, but you can collect from the husband if he divorces you. You can collect from Beninis is not correct. Marzutra's diuk is not correct. With this, we conclude today's share.